Hey, everybody.
Welcome to Reading Your Way to Heaven. This is Jason.
And this is Gabe. What's up, guys?
So our first one, we're going to be talking about the C.S. Lewis book, Out of the Silent Planet, part of the Space Trilogy. Space! That's what I want to say. I don't know what you think.
Is that every time you see that, you're like, space, 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 space.
Or just space.
And then the echoes.
Sometimes.
I imagine like a Star Wars kind of backdrop where the words are kind of like angled, floating away from you, you know?
But it's weird. Like, I think of that, but music-wise,
I kind of keystoned, you know?
Music, I think Star Trek.
Okay. I can imagine that. So right off the top, you see the cover, you see the title, Out of the Silent Planet. What are you thinking?
So when I talked to you briefly about it, and whenever you said this, Out of the Silent Planet, I'm immediately expecting to be in space. I'm immediately expecting to be not on Earth. So when I started reading this first chapter, and our protagonist is like talking about a thunderstorm, and it's like the thunderstorm just ended and it's wet outside and he's walking, I'm like, okay, maybe he's on some like weird planet for the first time. And then I realized, oh no, he's somewhere in England.
Yeah. Yeah. Those words aren't like, foreign words to the extent that they're from another planet. They're just towns in England. Matterby. Where could that be? Oh, British. Oh, it's England.
Right. And so I was a little confused as to the name of our protagonist here. So like in the very beginning it's saying the pedestrian. So I'm like, okay, so is that the name of our main character here? But then I realized, oh no, his name is Ransom. Is that right?
That's right. What gave that away for me is there's a sentence that says his name was Ransom.
Well,
and that was what, when I saw that, I went, that must be his name.
Well, you know, I saw that too eventually, but I'm like, I'm one of those people that I'm already hunting for clues. I'm hunting for like getting to try and gather all the information I can because I don't like being in the dark.
I'll say this. C.S. Lewis definitely wants to set the scene here. Like he is withholding the name from you on purpose because he wants you to focus on what this guy's going through, that he's walking through this countryside, the frustration that he's tried to find room in there's room in an inn, right? And there's literally no room in the inn. So he's got to like go to the next town and he's just frustrated. And, you know, the weather's changing and it's getting dark maybe the despair, maybe not despair, that's maybe too strong, but just definitely the growing anxiety perhaps that is starting to set in to the pedestrian,
right?
You know?
And, or just that dark realization of what's set before him, which is he's got to go all these miles to an available inn. And so on his way to this inn, he sees this woman. And this is where I finally was able to kind of like slow my brain down and just say, Jason, just read it. Just kind of not try to sit here and really find detail and nitpick every word, because all of a sudden you're met with this woman who does not know English very well.
Right. Though she's from England.
She is from England. And I remember talking to you last night about this, and of course, immediately I have the most stereotypical English accent in my head where she's like, I beg your pardon, sir. I thought it was my heir, eh? Like, I know that's very stereotypical, and probably all of our English listeners from...
No, I really enjoy your Cockney accent there. That's great.
They're going to be like, well, you know, I was raised on Mary Poppins and Dick Van Dyke's impression. So that's the that's my best
British.
So you're
hearing a female version of Dick Van Dyke here. Okay.
Exactly.
That's great.
Also, fun fact, I've never read nor have seen a single minute of Harry Potter. Not because I don't, you know, I have some religious objection to it. I just never got into the books or fantasy or anything like that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So no, English accents, I don't stuff. Hear very much. Yeah. I mean.
Okay.
So I just think that everybody talks like this. So
that was all. That was. We need more of that, sir. That is great radio there. Okay. So you're right. I mean, like, this is not like, you know, 18th century poetry here, where you're having to analyze and scrutinize every single word because there's such an abstract viewpoint being, you know, portrayed. No, it's just a guy walking through a countryside. Yeah,
right.
And then he's running. He definitely wants to find a place to sleep, and he comes across this lady who is got some desperation of her own going on. So I bet for this guy Ransom, like, he's just happy to see someone at a certain point, you know, because it's getting dark. And he needs to find a place to stay. So there's definitely a degree of hope there of, well, maybe she knows some place I can go.
You know? She was like, oh, no, there's really not. But she mentioned that she, as I just butchered his name, she's waiting for okay, help me out here. I know his name's Harry. Was it her husband, her son, her brother?
It's, like, her son.
Okay.
It's
her son. Her son.
Yeah.
Thank you. And she's worried. Because he's simple, as I think she says in the book.
She does say that, yeah.
So she's a little worried because apparently, like, he should have been back by then. He's usually really on time, and he's not back. And so she's getting antsy. And so he's like, okay, well, if I see him on the way, or, hey, I can go over to this house, and maybe they'll let me sleep there instead, and I can also, I'm still there. I can check on your son. And she's like, oh, that'd be wonderful. Thank you so much.
I did find it amusing that Ransom's not really considering that to be a place to stay. He's like, okay, cool. I'll go see if I can find your son and maybe a place to stay over there away from you.
And so the part where he fast forward, because we're just doing a quick synopsis, because hopefully you've read this chapter already. He gets to the place and he jumps over the fence and he realizes. Mm-hmm. And I love what C.S. Lewis, where he's like, you could tell Ransom's like, what am I doing? I've already thrown my pack over. It's too late. I'm on this adventure and I don't want to do this, but I okay.
He's
here we go.
To find reasons to not go forward, but it's this this guilt of the fact that he's told this lady, he's promised this lady that he would do what he can to find her son. And it's this obligation, this duty, actually, I think that kind of drives him, that compels him to overcome, you know, what would normally be a deterrent for him, you know, these obstacles or things that, yeah, like, oh, wait, the gate's locked. It's dark. Maybe I shouldn't go. Oh, but I told the lady, you know.
Well, let me ask you this. Would you do what Ransom's doing?
You know, it's tough to say because he didn't even know that he was in the right place.
Mm.
You know, so that, it's kind of again, he figured this is where she was talking about.
Right.
But it was already so dark. Like, he didn't even know for sure if this was the right place that he was at.
Right.
You know? So to start, you know, breaking and entering, basically, you know?
Because when I was reading this, I was like, this is exactly what I would be doing and what I would be thinking. I would be breaking and entering while I'm going, why am I doing this? What am I doing?
Exactly.
I'm doing this.
But ultimately it'd be the guilt of me saying to the mom, yeah, I'll do everything I can to help find your son. Oh man, now I actually have to do everything I can to help find your son, you know, like a very Seinfeld moment there, you know?
So he gets over the fence and he's trying to figure out, okay, what am I going to do? He goes up to the door. He's trying to think of what he's going to say once they enter the door, if I remember right. Anyways, he knocks on the door and nobody answers. And he is waiting and waiting. He's so tired and it's dark out. He's just like, I'm just going to sit here. And again, correct me if I'm wrong, Gabe, but does he fall asleep or he kind of dozes off a little bit, and then he hears a commotion and it kind of startles him. It wakes him up, basically.
Yeah. He definitely is super exhausted. I mean, he's been walking all day long, and he's already had planned on being asleep, right? So yeah, he's exhausted. But yeah, no, it's I think the just the like some kind of an irregular noise, I think is what it says. This sound that kind of startles him. And I didn't take it that he fell asleep, but definitely that he was like a glaze was setting in and he was kind of like maybe going in that direction for sure. And then all of a sudden something kind of just snapped him back to his senses. Like, wait, this is a weird sound. What's going on here?
And he said, like, it sounded like a scrum, like a football scrum. Like, there's definitely something going on. And he turns the corner and he sees these two guys wrestling down another younger boy. And I love what he said, where he says, like, you know, he would have liked to thundered out, "What are you doing to that boy?" But the words actually came out with, like, "Here, I say." And it's just like, that's exactly what I would, you know, in my head, I'm like, I'm going to say something, you know, to strike fear in the heart and make them stop. And I'd be like, hey, you, what are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah. But even more than I love their reaction. They're like, who are you? And what are you doing here? Like, what an awkward situation for everybody involved. You've got these two grown men manhandling this young boy. I say young. I imagine him to be probably like late teens. Kind of late teens, early 20s is what I'm imagining.
Yeah,
but there's this fight. There's this wrestle. There's this whatever's going on. And then you hear this, "Here I say." And everyone just turns and looks. And it's just this weird I bet nobody exactly knows what's the right thing to do in this moment. Who says what next? And it's who are you? What are you doing here? And his answer is just, I'm on a walking tour and I promised a poor woman.
And then,
because that's exactly why he's there.
Right.
Know, like, this poor woman I promised is the only reason I'm in this situation right now.
Throw her under the bus.
Oh, yeah, totally.
So he ends up realizing, like, he thinks he recognizes one of the two guys. And one of the guys that he thought he recognized, he did know. And it ends up being, like, an old schoolmate.
Classmate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Of his. And which – because I can't remember now off the top of my head. I should know, but I don't. Which of the two knew him? Was it Weston or Devin? Or Devon? How do you say his name?
Well – I say Divine.
Divine.
But you say Devin.
Devine?
Some would say that you're right, but I wouldn't be one of those. I think Divine is what I would say, what I would go with.
Okay.
So Weston and Divine. So yeah, no, Divine is the one that he went to school with.
Thank you.
And Weston is a physicist. He's a professor, a physicist, a scientist that Divine has crossed paths with. And he's definitely the grumpier of the two.
Right. And so because of that connection, they immediately, they hit it off. They start talking. And thankfully, because of that, the tension de-escalated fairly quickly. Actually, I was shocked how quickly it de-escalated. Like, they still were like, "Oh, hey, long time no see," kind of thing. And I was like, you know, I still broken, you know, I hopped over your fence and I'm still trespassing, right? And yeah.
Well, I was surprised. So they let the boy go. And I was surprised, first of all, by how easy they were like, "Oh, okay, we'll let the boy go." But then they invite, or concurrently, they invite Ransom into the house to have a drink. And to talk, and I mean, if you've seen any scary movie ever in your life, you know, don't go into the creepy house with the creepy guys who are just attacking a young guy.
Well, and that's the other thing too, right? So, like, they or was it Divine was trying to tell Ransom, "Oh no, we weren't attacking him.
He was having a fit, or something."
He was
like
having
that,
a fit. And we help him keep it down. But then at the end of the chapter, the boy, which is Harry. Yeah, I should know that because I just said it like 10 minutes ago. Sorry, guys.
Actually, I think
I'm still learning.
Harry, I think is what you said.
Harry Potter. No, it's not Harry Potter. Although that would be a fun twist.
I would not see that coming.
What if this is all a cinematic universe of Harry Potter meets Narnia meets space? Hmm?
So anyway.
You're not subscribing. You're not subscribing.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, anyways, so Harry says, basically, where was it? He goes, so they were like, oh, no, we were trying to subdue him, and we were taking him to the wash house. Mm-hmm. And then Harry pipes up and says, I know where you're sending me. You weren't going to the wash house. And he says, quote, you know it weren't. I don't want to go in that thing again. I mean, C.S. Lewis italicizes that thing again. Yeah.
But for me, the word again is what jumps out there. That thing again. Mm-hmm. So whatever that is, he's already been there. And he's been there enough to know, I don't want to go in that thing again.
And he's fighting two grown men, and he's strong enough, like you said. And that's why I picture someone in their late teens, early 20s as well, because it takes two grown men to wrestle him down and to get him into whatever that thing is. And then Divine interrupts and says, he means the laboratory. And
yeah, he was locked in there once, and poor guy, we were just trying to save him. So, hey, listen, Harry, it's all good. You know, this guy's going to help you get home, you know?
So yeah. And that's kind of the chapter ends with Ransom going into the house for a drink with these guys and Harry. And I'm left with, what is wrong with Ransom? Like, why would you do that?
I think desperation sets in at a certain point, and exhaustion, and he can't be thinking right. I mean, it's nighttime. He's worn out. He's tired. He's probably thirsty and hungry. My gosh, I think that he was willing to buy the lie, you know, of, oh yeah, surely nothing was going on here. Okay, yeah, I'll come in and have a drink, you know. I think that the momentary relief, the momentary comfort, was greater than the inconvenient reality that was actually present.
I mean, I know it says here that he hesitated to follow. So, it's that kind of idea of like, okay, is it like his frontal, the front part of his brain is thinking, this is probably not a smart idea, but the back end, all of the chemicals, and just like, oh, but there's a drink and there's rest and there's probably a warm bed and I'm tired. The front part of his brain was like, good night.
Yeah.
Turned it off.
Yeah. He's like, should I or shouldn't I? And then that other part of him was like, shut up, go inside and get a drink. Definitely is. He knows this is weird.
Yeah.
You know, that's why hesitation is there.
Yeah.
But ultimately, like, I really the desire for, it says the desire for rest, the desire for a drink, the desire for comfort, right, overcomes his better thoughts. And, yeah, that's definitely relatable.
So, all right, this is what I predict. And again, I don't know anything. All right. And please don't spoil me on this, Gabe. And people that have read this, if I'm way off, you can just laugh at me.
And nobody say anything. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, please, in the comments or whatever, don't spoil it. Especially for everyone else like me who's never read this and doesn't know anything. Just based on his laboratory, right? So this guy is supposedly some type of scientist. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's a quote-unquote laboratory. He's obviously, in my mind, he's obviously doing tests on Harry. Or he's performing experiments, and he's using Harry as his guinea pig, as his doing, like, I need to test this on a subject. I'll use Harry because he is not the brightest bulb, and he won't tell anybody, and nobody will believe him, and I can control him and do this. What is the experiment? That is the question. I think it has something. Because I thought about this. And just based on the titles of this, my feeling is, again, I'm probably way off. some type of interdimensional transporter thing that can take him somewhere.
So like Star Trek, like
Maybe like a teleporter kind of thing. Yeah, or like a Stargate. I don't know if you ever saw the movie Stargate, like a, where it's like this portal.
Is that a movie about a gate?
It's like this circular gate that would you take you to
go into the stars.
Something like that.
Okay.
So that's my prediction, and I think,
like a portal of some kind.
I think we're going to find out what it is very quickly, because I think they're going to, I think C.S. Lewis is going to get going on this adventure, because I just, he sets it up obviously in this chapter, gets you intrigued. And I loved what C.S. Lewis uses with Ransom, saying, "I didn't want to get on this adventure, but here I am," kind of thing. So obviously it's like, all right, we're going to kick off this adventure. I think by the end of chapter two, we're going to know what it is, and we're going to figure out what this thing is and what it does. And my prediction is it's some type of teleporter or intergalactic transporter of some kind that can take you somewhere in the universe to other planets. And another crazy speculation, just again, whatever, my maybe this is going to be crazy, and I'm probably way off. That's why I'm laughing at myself, is that they send Harry through this thing. They make him go through the experiment in the laboratory, and he gets lost or trapped or something. Like, something happens to Harry, and Ransom feels, again, like you said, what that guilt of the woman, of the mother. He's going to be like, I got to go rescue. I got to go save Harry now, because something's screwed up, and I got to go help him.
So you don't think they're really going to let Harry go then? They're just, that's lip service to Ransom.
I don't.
And to Harry in that moment.
Either he's going to get trapped, or something's going to happen to him out there, or he's going to be killed.
Mm-hmm. Harry.
Harry.
Okay. Ransom.
No.
Otherwise, the book's over pretty quick.
That's going to be a weird book. That's a twist I've never seen before in a book.
What if the title is Out of the Silent Planet, and they never actually leave the planet?
I know, and that's the thing. I could be so off that
we'll never know.
It's, well,
I mean, we will know.
I hope we'll know. Chapter. Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see. Those are my crazy predictions.
Stay tuned.
And those that have already read it, you know, and you can laugh at me and talk about it later. So, did I miss anything, or did we miss anything, Gabe, on this first chapter?
No, I think we covered that pretty well.
Awesome. So I think that's it for this first chapter. Stay tuned. Next week, we'll cover chapter two. Again, this is Out of the Silent Planet. You can either just buy the whole series, the trilogy, or buy them individually and just go along as you wish. I bought them individually because it was cheaper actually on Amazon that way. But I'm sure they've got to be in the library, right?
That's right. Actually, that's exactly how I read it. I've got my library has an app, so I have it on my phone. That's how I read it. So yeah.
Wow! Look at you.
I'm telling you,
21st century.
Yeah. This may be the first book that I've read digitally.
Okay.
Yeah. Which has been a weird, it's been an Out of the Silent Planet type of experience in and of itself.
Oh, man. Well, thank y'all so much for listening. Remember, you can find us on our website, which is readingyourwaytoheaven.fireside.fm. You know, if you feel like it, please feel free to rate, subscribe, most importantly, as well as share this with your friends. If this is something that you think your peers, your friends, family, anybody like that would want to join us, have them get started. We just did chapter one, and whether you hear this months or years ago from now, well, just start on chapter one and just go with us. But hopefully you're listening right from the get-go, and you can just join us now, and we'd love to hear from y'all. So feel free to leave comments. No spoilers, please. Just you know, keep it spoiler-free for now. And
later on you can do spoilers, but not right now.
Hang off
on those.
Yeah, we'll let you know when you can.
Yeah.
We'll let you know. But that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. God bless.
Thanks for hanging with us.
All right. Love you. Bye, Gabe.
Love you. Bye.